We're going to take up a text which we have been looking at for some time now. And we're going to try and see whether we can go into it in the greater depth level. And I'm going to help you to look at the book of Jeremiah, which is we're going to study a little bit of that at a camp week, just to help you to understand the place of the Word of God in life. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you'll help us to take heed of the Word that you have given to us. Help us to recognize how much we need to give full attention to the study of your Word. I pray that you will help us to realize how relevant and how they will come to pass. We pray that you will give to us that wisdom to understand and appreciate this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you study the Word of God, when you read the Scriptures, how do you actually understand the Scriptures as they are? I mean, how do you actually understand it? What are you reading? What are you hearing? And a lot of times we just don't understand what we are doing. It's so important for us to appreciate the significance of the parable of the sower. Let's look at it very, very carefully. Okay? Now we take a look at the word of warning first, and then we'll try and see whether we can apply this. Right? And so the prophecy was, hearing, you will hear, and you will not understand. Okay? What is so important? Seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Now that was a prophetic word from the time of Isaiah. And you see this prophecy is actually in Isaiah chapter 6. Well, let's turn to it for a little bit so that we can see the context of it all and realize how true those things are. Okay, so in chapter 6, we see this word of prophecy given. Right? And so we read, in the days of King Uzziah, this was the call of Jeremiah, of Isaiah. And he recognized that he was undone, made of unclean lips, living in the midst of a people on unclean lips. And then he was given a prophetic word here. And he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing, do not understand. Make the heart of these people dull, ears heavy, shut their eyes. This was Isaiah's time. You look at it in Matthew 13, and it was the same in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. 600 years may pass by, and the reality of it all will still be there. Now that is something pretty astonishing. There are underlying reasons, and I really hope you will take heart to what I'm saying to you today. It really doesn't matter who teaches you the Word of God. You can go back to your classes next 2 weeks' time. The challenge really is, do you really want to read the Word of God and understand it? And if the answer is yes, there's yet hope. But if the answer is, well, doesn't bother you one way or the other, the problem begins, and it begins. It is a very dangerous situation. Well, let's take a look at it very carefully. Now, look at verse 19, chapter 13 of Matthew. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Now, let's take a look at this very carefully. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, okay, now this is important. Watch this very carefully. Anyone hears, but this person doesn't understand it very, very much. Okay, so all who hear this word of the kingdom, it does not understand. Now the question is, whose responsibility is it to understand? And the answer is the hearer. You are responsible for the word of God that is taught. Okay, so now this is a situation. Here is a situation the person does not hear, does not understand it. You know, it's so easy to say, well, this is too hard, or this is hard to understand, or, you know, I don't have the time to grapple with it. Whatever you want to, what excuse you want to come up with it. Okay, the point is, do you understand? And if you don't understand, what happens? Whose responsibility is it after that? When we were in school, the best way to get away, at least you feel, is to blame the teacher. The teacher didn't teach this. The teacher didn't explain this. The teacher didn't highlight this. Well, the teacher may get a bad name. The problem is you get a bad grade. It doesn't matter how you are responsible. In primary school, the teacher is responsible up to junior college. Once you step into tertiary education, if you don't want to hear the lecturer, it's your problem. If you don't want to do your work, it's your problem. You're out on your own. That's all there is to it, nothing more. Now, that's pretty scary. Well, this is true here, except there is a slight twist. Now, take a look at this very carefully, the twist over here, verse 19. Okay? The evil one comes, and he snatches that word away. Now, you may not know this, but let's say this morning you are listening to the word of God. And then you begin to realize that this is serious stuff. And you really want to try to understand it. But still you don't go far enough. What happens next? There is an evil activity going around that you may not even realize. He's not going to herald his coming. He's not going to tell you he's going to do it. He's just simply going to do it. The word of God has no chance of it working in your heart. And if it has no chance, if you don't recall, you don't remember, you don't do anything at all, it's gone. So here is the human heart. And the word of God is sown there. But it does not open itself to the word of God taught. What happens to that word? It's gone. 76 lessons later, to your horror, I don't think anyone can say, I remember the 76 lessons. What happened to that word? You know how dangerous it is? The evil one has snatched that word away. It's gone. That's why a lot of people don't grow. And I wish I could impress this upon you to tell you that we have the greatest enemy of our soul. We cannot remember. You see, to us, it's an excuse. Oh, it's too much to remember. I cannot remember. You know, it's not going to work. Because the evil one doesn't care whether you can remember or you can't remember. He doesn't care whether you understand it, you don't understand it. give him half the chance, he will take away that word from your heart. Just give him half a chance. He knows the danger and the power of the word of God, and he's not going to allow that to happen. And so we read, and we are unblessed. So we read, and things don't work out the way we want it to work out. Nobody sows seed for fun. Nobody sows seed because there's nothing else to do but sow the seed. Every time the sower goes out to sow, he hopes it will bring forth fruit. And every time the word of God is taught, it was meant to bring forth fruit. If it does not, you have to examine why. This is an analysis to look at all the work being sown, the word of God in the heart. What's happening? And you'll find that it's not there. Now, it's pretty scary. You think about it. So many years of being in Sunday school, and then nothing comes out of it. What happened? Well, here is an activity of the evil one that Jesus wanted to highlight to his disciples. You don't want it. Satan is happy to take that away from you. Since you don't want it, it's gone. So whenever I read the word of God, I am very conscious of this. That the evil one can snatch away the knowledge, the understanding that I have built for years. And you know what? I'm not going to let it go. So here is the study of the word of God. And then this is the second, last but one Sunday. And then you say, I really must pay attention. Okay? I'm going to pay attention now. But the 76 lessons have come and gone. Time has passed. There's no question about it. Now, I hope that we will take this really quite seriously. And I fear very much that we don't take this seriously enough. The Lord desires to see fruit in our life. Unfortunately, it's not there. Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah. And we'll just take a look at this. Just give you an example. Okay? The earlier chapters. Chapter 5, chapter 6. So let's take a look at this little text here. Okay? In chapter 6, this was a warning that was given. Later on in Jeremiah, the later part of the chapters, 39, for example, you see this coming to pass. Okay? Verse 16, stand in the ways and see, ask for the old paths where the good way is. Walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. And the people responded, we will not walk in it. All right, this is the first response. Okay, I set watchmen over you. Listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. We don't want to hear. We don't want to listen. We don't want to look. We don't want to anything at all. And then the Lord said to the people, verse 19, hear, O earth. I will certainly bring calamity on this people. The fruit of their thoughts. What happens here? Because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. What happened? Jerusalem fell exactly as Jeremiah had said. Too late then. King Zedekiah was desperate. So he said to Jeremiah secretly, he was already in prison in a dungeon at that point of time. Okay, and this is where the king was already in absolute, his lost control. Chapter 37, Jeremiah entered the dungeon and the cells. Verse 16, and then King Zedekiah sent and took him out. The king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. What was that word? You will be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon. It was too late to ask for any word now. Zedekiah, you're going to be made captive. You're going to Nebuchadnezzar, and you're going over to Babylon, and there you will die. Too late. So from chapter 6, chapter 37, a lot of things Jeremiah preached, taught, fell on deaf ears. Can I seriously urge you, every day you open up your PC or your laptop or whatever thing you use and you read I Care, or you read the Word of God, you know, looking in the book of James, and by the end of the day, you've forgotten what you have read. You know what's happened? The evil one has snatched that word away from you. It's gone. I wish I can tell you how real this is. Anything that is not inside the heart, deep inside, the evil one will take that word from you. I think this is important that we understand. These lessons that I have been crafting out were taken from the Gospels so that you can catch a glimpse of who Jesus is, what he said, what he taught. To your horror, you may think, you say, well, what happened to that knowledge? It's gone. Is it possible that it's gone? Yes. The evil one has done this. He's not going to tell you. Imperceptibly, inconspicuously, he will snatch that word away. It's gone. I don't know whether you realize this, but if you don't realize this morning, I want to emphasize this. So this is the first enemy, and he is hard at work. And that is a grave danger. Now, let's look at the second one. Okay? Now, he who received the seed on stony ground, a stony place, stony ground, same. This is he who hears the word, and he receives it with joy. Wow, that is an improvement. Right? He hears the word, and immediately he receives joy. And so some people, they are enlightened. Some people, they say, well, this is good stuff. I hear this. I understand it. And I like it. It brings joy to the heart. Watch very carefully. There's a joy that is long-lasting. There is a joy that is short-lived. Short-lived joy is same joy, but it doesn't last. Think about this. Be careful of the short-lived joy. He receives the word, and he immediately receives it with joy. Problem here, verse 21. Problem here is that he does not have roots in himself. Now that is the big problem. Can you see? See, ultimately, we all are people. Either we are people of depth, people who have deep roots, or we don't. You see, so you could ask yourself, am I a deep-rooted person? Or am I a shallow person? Now, most of us like to think that we are deep people. The reality of it may be otherwise. Are we deep people? Unfortunately, a lot of people are not. And so, there we go. Okay? He endures only for a while. But when tribulation comes, persecution arises, he stumbles. Now, that's the real challenge. You see, the reality of it all is that we are going to be tested one way or another. And so if in the testing we find that we are actually people of no depth, no roots. We're not deeply rooted people. You see, it is not the same as I've been so many years a Christian. You can be many, many years Christian and still be shallow. For those of you who are still thinking of coming over to my class, SSS 4 later on, can I tell you that if you don't belong to, you're not interested in deep-rooted things, this class is not for you. Because it's no use. So you have to think very carefully. Am I deeply rooted? Will the Word of God grow deeply enough? Because if it doesn't, you still end up with no food, no yield, no fruit, nothing. Now that is a second consideration. In other words, the person to watch out for is yourself. What kind of person you are will affect the way you study or hear the Word of God. Now, here is the third category. Now, the third category is he who received the Word among the thorns. He hears the Word. But, you know, he cannot juggle. On the one hand, I like the Word of God. On the other hand, the cares of the world. Now, that is so very real. And I'm serious about it. You know, we all, every time there is something to be taken advantage of, people will take advantage of it. You be careful. This is the riches of the world, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. It chokes the Word. That is all the time there. Perhaps we have to wake up to this reality that our problem of being money-minded, of being well-oriented, is far deeper a problem than we dare to admit. You know, it's not a question of, it's not a question of how much money you have or you don't. The issue is really how oriented you are towards wealth, towards riches, and that becomes a problem. You know, in a world, they said, they don't use the word greedy. They use the word hungry. Same. Are you hungry? Are you hungry enough to go and do whatever? And people will sell their souls to have a bit more money. That is a reality. And so there are incentives. If you do this, you know, you're going to get so much more. If there is incentive, let's do it. Sales, no incentive, who cares? You don't realize how dangerous it is that the riches, the cares of this world, the worries, they're going to put you on the spot. And that is a grim reality. You see, so again here, what happens? So that is the evil one's work. That is your heart, shallow. Here is the third one. We are so caught up with, you know, getting a better life. Now that's interesting. There is an Israeli writer, and he wrote a book recently called Sapiens. Now, there is another one that is coming up, and it's interesting. It's called Homo Deus. Literally, translated from Latin, is the man of God. And this is an Israeli writer. And he says that we have come to the point of life where everything is so optimized, we have lost the meaning of life. What is the meaning of life today? A lot of people have lost the whole idea of what life is all about. Life is all about making it rich, making it there, being there,
wealth, I cannot part with it. It has destroyed your soul. You don't know how to get out of it. Now that's a sad reality. We just don't know how to get out of it. Kids today are looking at, the parents are going to ask you, what kind of profession they're going to look at. You know, how they look at, this one does not pay, forget about it. This one got no money, forget about it. That's how it works. This is modern Singapore. This is our problem. And our minds geared towards this thing here. So if I read the Word of God, what does it do for me? Nothing. Is it going to make me richer? No. Is it going to make me better? Not really. How am I going to? Yeah. The Word of God cannot grow in any way when the heart is like that. It will not grow. You will find yourself choked. It's happened. It continues to happen. And we're not careful. It's going to happen to us right here at Bethany. I mean, you know, you take a look at all, one day I just look at a number of cars that were there in our church. Put them all together, millions of dollars worth in cars, in terms of car worth. No, I'm getting here. I am not against getting a nice car. By all means, you don't need to have a bicycle built for two. Although that might be actually healthier for some of us. But seriously, do you realize that, you know, you almost have to have a golden Bible to, otherwise you don't want to turn to it. Seriously, the danger is so real, it will choke the Word of God in your heart. And as you see, there is little progress. And so when we teach our children to look at all these things here, the monetary values we pass on to them, the things that we give to them, they're going to choke them to death. That's why the richest man in the world, Microsoft chap, he says, all I'm going to give to my children, maybe give them a couple of million, that's it. The rest of the money, he's going to Africa. He's going to help a lot of people who need to be helped. And here we go, slogging for the things. And so when we were younger, we liked those things, we can eat them. We can't afford them. Now we can afford them. There's diabetes, liver cirrhosis, and everything else. We can't touch them. So what's the big deal? Why don't we come back to ask ourselves, what is the most important thing we could do with our life? And I'll tell you, it has to do with the Word of God working in your life. Look at what it can yield. This is important. He who received seed on the good ground, verse 23, and this is important, right? Upon the good ground, this seed is sown. He hears it. He understands it. Can you see this? He hears it. He understands it. See, between hearing and understanding, it's a big jump. I hear it, I understand it, but it doesn't bear fruit. Then you could ask yourself, why? Lots of reasons. A person who doesn't have depth, that person will never yield fruit. That's obvious. I think that's something that we need to think about very, very carefully. The person who just cares about all the riches of the world is going to be in serious trouble too. And it's just wonderful to be challenged to consider what he said. A person who bears fruit and he yields 100-fold, 60, 30-fold. You look at this, it's almost like those people who are promising, if you just buy the genetically modified GM goods, the seeds will yield 30, 60, 100-fold. And they actually can do that. The only problem is that you're dependent upon whatever. You plant the seeds today, once a crop is gone, you've got to buy fresh seed. It does not yield fruit. But the yield is supposed to be much higher. The point of it all, ultimately, is what do we see as fruits in our life? And I'm preparing a whole series of Bible studies. We've already come to more than 20 pages already, just studying the scriptures. It's at a camp, 3 days, 22 pages, not too bad. You know, seriously, you know how many times that's been done? 22 over pages, 23 pages, and this is only the Bible study, not counting the evening messages and the others. I'm working on them. You will come to at least 30, over 30 pages. And I was asked to write some poems. I've done 4 and counting. You know, thinking about this thing here, the point of it all is, does it yield fruit? On our part, we will do, and I know that the pastoral team all working hard at it, reading, mastery. Now, I asked you some time back in eye care, if you read Jeremiah, 2 chapters a day, by the time we come to camp, you would have finished the book. If I were to close my eyes, how many of you, just raise your hand up, yes, I'm doing it. I open my eyes. And I don't think there are too many people who raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm reading it. What's wrong? It's there. I hope you will understand. See, out of 4 grounds, 1, the evil one is responsible. The other 3, you are responsible. What kind of heart you have, what kind of person you are, what kind of fruits you have, 30, 60, 100-fold. It all depends upon the person. So this person can yield 30-fold, 60-fold, another person yield 100-fold. That is individual response and yielding of fruit. The question is, what are you going to do to get there? How do you make the Word of God so real in your heart and life? Reading this, I purposely went to read Pilgrim's Progress all over again. I've read it a few times. It's always interesting to read it again. And you'll be surprised how many of us are not like Christian, not like hopeful, not like faithful. We all find shortcuts along the way. What's this? People want to know, what's the easiest way to read? Reader's Digest wanted to have a Bible, Reader's Digest Bible. And they said they would cut out all the references here and there. They came up with 1/3 the size. Anyone bought it? Anyone actually reads it? It's not. Nobody. So it's not a question of having the scriptures, having the Word of God, either in Greek or any other language. That's not the point at the end of the day. The end of the day is yourself. Why are we so generous giving away the Word of God to the evil one? What's the point of that? I mean, I'm really, very concerned. And I look at people and I like people who are people of some depth. Seriously. And if there isn't much depth, there isn't very much to build anything on. You know, we can be successful in our professions. We can be, we could have a very good station in life. At the end of the day, is how much of the Word of God really is in your heart and producing the right kind of fruit. You know, 30-fold is called average yield. 60-fold is called good yield. 100-fold is the above average yield. This morning, ask yourself, what is your yield like? Well, let's go back to what we learned about, okay? Number one, we're talking about the Beatitudes and all that. How many Beatitudes do you know? How many of you do you practice? You might be surprised, not much. Subject on prayer. We took a long time to talk about praying. Are you a more prayerful person today or not? Can you see what I'm trying to say? The yieldage must be in terms of how we live our lives. I think this is something that we need to look at very, very, very carefully. Or we're not going to go anywhere at all. Sometimes we may look well, we may feel well. You really are gearing to go. So I went to see my ENT doctor during the week, and I asked him, how do I feel? He said, well, he said, how do you hear? I said, still muffled. Tuning fork, can hear. Tuning fork, nothing. I can hear nothing. Nope, you're not well yet. I said, well, I wonder, I'm scheduled, all hotel book, aeroplane ticket there. He says, you cannot go. And I ask him why. He says, the air pressure can cause a relapse. So this is the first time I've canceled a flight. Boy, it was a very tough situation, but so he asked me, are you prepared for a possible relapse? This hearing loss can become even worse. Well, that stopped me in my tracks. Okay, so I wrote to Perth and says, I'm sorry, I can't come over, cannot hear properly. It becomes a serious thing. He says, well, how long did it take? He says, at least 2-3 weeks, sometimes longer. You cannot travel for the next few weeks. Wow, that was sobering. The danger of relapse. If anything else, it just sobered me up. It's been a very tough week of battling rashes and everything else. And he says, well, so part of the thing, you don't know how to rest. Can you please take this seriously? I hope none of you have contacted him and told him, please rein him back. So I'm not going to tell you which doctor that is, just in case. But I'm really touched by that. But you know what? I got to ask myself, am I listening? Am I going to listen? And the answer must be, I will have to. Not because I want to, because I have to. But you know, sometimes in life, it comes down to reading the Word of God. You tell yourself, you know what, I have to make this count. I have to look at fruits in my life. I have to look at my heart. I have to ask myself, am I a person of depth or am I a shallow person? And if I'm going to be continually the same old person that I am, then the Word of God has not borne fruit. 76 lessons later, how much fruit? That depends on you. Because Satan will continue to snatch away the Word of God all the time. You don't want it, he will take it. And if your heart is stony ground, thorny ground, you are on dangerous grounds, one way or the other. Take heed. Did you do that? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you would help us to understand the seriousness of listening to the Word of God. Lord, help us to come to terms with ourselves, with our own hearts, that we may be able to respond the way we should. We pray that you will speak to our hearts deeply. We pray that you'll help us to have the sense of fear, lest we hear, we reject it, and our hearts become so dull we can no longer respond. Lord, speak to our hearts urgently this morning. May our hearts bring forth fruit in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.